So we might as well just start. I mean, it's not, I don't have much to say in it, but it's an interesting point. And let's just say the very, very bottom of Yerem and Aleph, he says, Mechavim Lam Drachim. They basically set up roads to the Ari Meklat. So it says, Tanya Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Miklat HaYakasav Al Prashas Drachim. So at forks in the road, they basically had like a sign which said Miklat, this way, and it pointed in the direction. So the killer would be able to see it, and he know which way to go. So you have to prepare the road. It doesn't just mean to make a road, but it means to make the road suitable so that it will function to lead a person to Ari Meklat. So you have to basically have these road markers here to make sure that it's going to be able to work to get the guy to Ari Meklat.
Without delay.
Yes, without a delay. Exactly. So that's interesting. It's like part of the kind of the tzibur is to make Ari Meklat in a way which is easily accessible quickly. A guy doesn't have time to get lost. Or you get lost and the guy gets you.
Yeah.
So basically you have to make it like, so, you know, perfect good road signs and everything, you know? Okay, so this is like this. So now we're up to a new thing. This is interesting. These are two a little bit philosophical here, but interesting. It says Rav Kahama Bar Chanina Pasach Pischa Lahai Parshas Amihacha. So when he wanted to be Doresh about this halacha of Ari Meklat, so this is where he started from. Okay, this is the basically, to make it interesting, when he started the stories doing Ari Meklat, this is what he started with. So it sounds like this sounds kind of important.
Well, what do you mean?
Like when he would give shir on the sugya of Paras Rotzchem, on this halacha of Rotzeach V'Shogeg, Ari Meklat, he started with this, the following. Okay, so this is like his intro, his first day of shir, when he used to give at Ari Meklat, this is what he did. Okay? Tov V'Yashar Hashem. Hashem is good and straight. Al Kain Yorech HaTayim Badarach. And therefore he teaches sinners on the road.
Question, teaches them. Where is the end of the quote here? Tov V'Yashar
Hashem.
That's the quote.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So God is no. Al Kain Yorech HaTayim Badarach. Badarach is the end of the quote.
Ah, okay.
So it says that he teaches guys, chataim, sinners on the road. Mm-hmm. They're on a proper road. Okay? So then the Gemara says, this is what he said, in the chataim yara, if he teaches chataim, sinners, the proper path, kal v'chomer l'tzadikim, certainly he's going to teach tzadikim the path. Right?
Does it have meaning that he went?
I don't know. Good question. I mean, what's the point? What's the point? Right.
Well, either the tzaddikim would know the path.
Right.
Or God would tell them.
Right. That's true. What does it mean, the path? Like, what exactly is it talking about? You know, talking about that, like, it teaches them the path. What's the like, import of this thing? What's it talking about? What's the thing going on with tzaddikim? What's this whole idea? This is how we started the parasha, started our miklat. So, presumably thought it was significant. So, what is the significance? Rashi says, Yoro al kin yoro chtom adarach. This is in Tehillim Chafei Chas. Adarach Chuba. That's what it means. What does it mean? Tov Yashar Hashem Chafeitz lahatzdik b'yosef. He wants his b'yos to be tzaddikim. So al kin yoro chtom adarach Chuba. Therefore, he directs the chatoim in the path of Chuba. Right? Davrach yoro chatoim l'rotzchem. Chtom adrotzchem. Shnei matachon l'cha adarach. Things Yorach Tam Adarach means the drash is that he directs them on the road. He sets up halacha on the. Well, he's saying the road to Ari Meklat.
Okay.
And then Silmashai is on the road to Tshuva, but he's saying the road also means the road to Hadarach. It's like a play on this Tachon Hadarach. Right? Yorach Tam Adarach. He shows them the road to Ari Meklat. To Ari Meklat. Right?
So even more so, what's
says the Radak says, "Lefishu tov v'yasher." Since Hashem is v'yasher, lo yimas hachotim. He doesn't discuss the chotim. Elam yirtzu lasher. If they want to do tshuva, yikavlo him. He accepts him. V'yoro some derech yishar, and he shows them the derech, proper derech. Okay, he says the derech tshuva, derech tshuva. But you do live ne'adam. He told me she'me bereishas. This is the derech tshuva, which is known to him from she'me bereishas. She'horo derech tshuva l'kayin hachotay. Shalom Rabbalam, take this. You see, he showed the Derech Tshuva to Kain all the way back one. The thing is, the derech of tshuva is available, and God leads a person, helps a person along the derech. That's saying, Tov Yashar Hashem Alkein Yorach Atam Aderech. He directs a person to the derech of tshuva. So, Yudam and Bey is the top. So, it says that's what he would start the teaching with, is this halacha, this pasuk. And his deduction from this pasuk. Okay, so what's the point? What's the point, and why did he start the parsha from here? Right? See what Yaakov is starting, and Marcus saying is also good. That he's saying is, he's giving like a context of the whole parsha of Ari Miklat. Like Ari Miklat sounds is like, we exile him, and we throw him in jail, and you know, it sounds like a rough onesh. And he's saying is, the real context of the whole parsha is, you have to look at it as Chesed Hashem. Is that a guy's a killer, you know, he kills b'shogeg, and that's really the type of a serious avera, even though it's b'shogeg. And God basically sets up a whole parsha, an Ari Miklat, on this whole, all these sugyos, the whole city is part of Eretz Yisrael, is basically set up to reform a guy, to reform the Sefer Chicago. And it's set up an entire system with all the details of it in a way that will bring about a person to tshuva. And he makes it easy for a person to get there. He could have just said, look, let me show him up, let's let the gold don't kill him. But he says, no, he set up a system of reform, a system of tshuva. So it's like built into the halachic system is like a whole institution, which is a vehicle of, a vehicle of reforming a person's life, Russia's life. Right? So saying you learn from here, there's two things. First of all, you see that it provides a context from the way you look at Galus. Not just as a punishment, but as like an opportunity, as a vehicle of giving him tshuva. And you see, you appreciate the Chesed Hashem, even though he's a Rasha, God setting this up. So the thing is, Kol Shekein, you see the Midas Hashem, that even to someone who's basically is like a killer, he's totally being reckless with human life, God's offering, setting up a whole institution. And really doing a lot to be able to help him out and to lead him along the path of tshuva. He says, Kol Shekein, you see that that's like Hashem is knowing that way to principle in general, is how far, look how far Chesed Hashem goes, even to Rishayim. Kol Shekein to Tzadikim. So it's like he's starting off, but I think he's starting off with the parsha because it provides you context in the whole parsha. If you normally think of jail as like a punishment. You know, exile. Someone's exile. But it's saying the way you have to look at it, I mean, we mentioned this along the way, but the way you have to look at this is not just a punishment or even a shelter. So you could look at it in two ways. Punishing him, secondly, protecting him from the Gal Adam. But the way it's telling you is the emphasis should be not on either of those, but on the leading him on a path of tshuva. So that's why when he started this year, he wanted to know, listen, get involved in all these halachos to this thing. It sounds like exile, sounds like a punishment, an onesh. But the main idea, he didn't want them to lose the main idea of what this whole thing is. The whole thing is an opportunity, a vehicle of tshuva, and it's Chesed Hashem. You know? So that's why he started it. He wanted to set off on the right foot to give them a proper idea about the institution. It's like an onesh, but it's like Hashem Yasser Ishes Binah, Hashem Kachem Yasraka. Like Hashem, like a father rebukes his son, so too Hashem rebukes us, punishes us. So a father punishing his son is to help him out, it's not just to beat him, it's to help him out. So this punishment is an onesh of Galus, but essentially it's a vehicle of leading him to Tshuva. So he started with it. Started with it to give you the proper idea of the institution. Yeah. Okay? Good. Okay, next one. This is the way Rav Shimon ben Lakish pasach levar by Persa Behacha. So Rav Lakish started with a different one. Okay, this is famous. Okay? And so it says, Vasher lotzada, if a person did not lie in ambush. Okay, it says if a person ambushes somebody and kills him, then he's killed. But if he didn't lie in ambush, and Hashem basically prepared his hand. Okay? Let's see. Can we get Mike? Is this? Oh, here's Shmos. Here it is. Shmos Chafalaf. It's your parsha. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So. So it says, what does it mean? And Hashem causes it to come to him. It says the guy didn't ambush it, but Hashem caused him to come. What does it mean? Hashem caused him to kill the Shogeg. What does that even mean? So it says, it explains. It says, Kasher Yom, Zehu Shamar Kasev, Kasher Yomar Mashal. Mashal Agononim. This is like the Pasuk is telling you, like a Mashal, like a Mashal Agononi. Mashal Agononi means Mashal of the Torah. It's from Hashem. Rishonim Yetze Rasha. From Rishonim comes Rishos. Okay, V'mah Kasev Navar, what's it talking about? Shnei B'nei Adam Shehargo, it's Nefesh. Two people who killed. Echad harag b'shogeg, one of them killed b'shogeg, v'echad harag meisid, one of them killed meisid. Zayin edem, zayin edem. Neither of them had edem, so therefore neither of them were prosecuted to get the onus which they deserve. So that's all right. Hakadosh Baruch Hu ma'az minam l'pundak echad. So Hashem makes them go to one hotel, right? Zeh shaharag b'meisid yoshev tachas hasulam. This one who kills b'meisid without witnesses sits under the ladder. And the one who's, you know, killed Bishogi goes up on the, goes down on the ladder. But not follow of Hargo, and he falls on him. Right? Zeshar b'meiz and Erox, the one who killed the mazed and was really chayef misa gets killed. Zeshar b'shogi gola, the one who killed Bishogi kills the golems. Right? That's Hirashi. Well, Kimin Eliyado, Zeroshon Kazav of Kasha, Yomar Mashal Akadmoni, Mirisham Yetzirasha. Mashal Akadmoni is the Torah. The Mashal Akadmoni is the Torah. Shehi Mash Mishal Hakadosh Baruch. I'm sorry, Mishal. Mishal is. Yomar Mishal Hakadmoni. Oh, I understand. Kasha Yomar Mishal Akadmoni. What?
Mashal
Akadmoni. Yeah? I don't think so. I think he's saying is Mishal Akadmoni, he had Torah, Shehi Mishal Hakadosh Baruch. So Hashem, Shu Kadmono Shel Olam. Right, he's the Kadmono of the Olam. He Amra, and it says, Mirsham Yetzer Rasha. From Mitzrayim comes Rishos. Where, so Veichan Amra, where does it say that? Well, what does it mean, from the wicked comes wicked actions? For Elokimi, Eliyado. And God causes it to him to do it. Veichan goes Baruch Hu, Mamsi Mechshol Adam Lachta. What does it mean? Hashem causes a person to sin? Why does a person cause a person to kill Bishogi? Ella Aideisha Yishneim Rishayim. Now, Horeg and Erag. The case is they're both Rishayim. The Horeg HaYachayv Galas Vein Eid B'davar. Hulo Galas. So the killer is Kachayv Galas because he killed once previously without a witness. And Erag HaYachayv Misa. And the victim was Chayv Misa Vein Eid B'davar. Hulo Erag the Fikach Gashu was in Pilik Tachachan. Alright? So basically, it's saying is b'mal kasam medaber al kimin el yado nofel v'hargo v'yesh edim v'yegol al karcha. So basically, saying is that the parsha is that it doesn't mean God causes them to do, causes a person to kill. Why does He cause a person to kill? Why does He cause the victim to get killed? Why does He cause the killer to kill? So it's saying is, oh, because the case is where they really both are deserving of that. The killer already previously killed once b'shogeg without witnesses, and he didn't go. And the victim previously killed. Seem to be a lot of people who killed them on purpose. Yeah, don't end up getting killed. That's a good point. Obviously, it seems like a model, like a paradigm case, which everything works out perfectly. But what's the point of picking a model? I mean, if you say it doesn't happen always, it's just picking out like a model case of something. So it must be trying to teach us something, right? I have no problem saying it doesn't happen every single time. Which means there is such a thing like this. And it's describing the model case, which indicates a certain concept. But the concept is maybe always true, but there are a lot of factors involved in the world, and this isn't the only factor which God owns the world with. Well, the idea, first of all, what's it trying to teach you? And then, yeah, what does it do with Ari Miklat? If we take the other one as a model, presumably he's trying to teach you something about Ari Miklat here. It's not just that I'm telling you. And just for starters, the Mark says, if you want to know what's he emphasizing about Ari Miklat as opposed to Rav Chana Bar Chanina, is it seems he's looking at it as a punishment. Right, he's saying is this is how he gets punished. The murderer of a Shav Mezid gets punished by getting killed. This guy goes to Galus. As he's looking at, he's like, this doesn't explain everything, but he's focusing on the aspect of Ari Miklat as a punishment. Right, it's a punishment for a guy who did a crime. So if you did your crime, you killed the Shogeg, and you're not going to get away with it. Just like the murderer who's been mazed isn't going to get away with it, but God's going to make sure he gets killed. So too, the murderer of Shogeg isn't going to get away with it, but God's going to make sure he gets his onus. No one gets away scot-free. Just because, look, there are witnesses, it's true. You need Edom and Abazdin, but don't think that if you do something without witnesses, then everything's cool. You're going to get away with it. God works in different ways, and look, maybe he'll make you happen in a different situation, will happen again, or maybe God will kill you some other way. Or God, and the point is that persons sometimes may feel that since we have courts, that if you can manage to get around the court, then you can get away with something. But that's, I guess, this is your point, right? The person, you can't get away with anything. Because ultimately, courts is one form of justice, but that's not the extent of justice in the Torah. You know, God ultimately is a Malach HaMishpat, and he gave over a certain degree of the Mishpat for man to carry out. But then, on the other hand, there's God carries out Mishpat in his own right. And everything which God does is a Mishpat. So this is an instance, it's an idealized example of how God's system of Mishpat could work out. Takes into focusing on the tshuva aspect of it, although it might be, I don't know if he disagrees that there is such a thing, but he's using it as an instance of like an expression of God's midah of punishing a person. A person doesn't get away with his crime, but he gets punished. You could say, I don't know if you necessarily want to go so far, but I mean, you could say, this is one way to the extreme form of looking at it, you could have machlokas, like what's the essence of Aron Miklat? Is it essentially an institution of mechaper, of tshuva, of leading a guy to tshuva? Or is it essentially an institution of punishing a guy? You know, punishing a sinner, like some punishments, right? So do you look at Aron Miklat as essentially another institution of a punishment? We punish people that can't get away with murder. We punish them, or do you look at it as Aron Miklat is essentially an institution of tshuva, basically giving a guy tshuva, a vehicle of tshuva? Now, of course, it's both. I don't think anyone's going to deny that it does a person out of tshuva, and it also ends up punishing a person. But it almost sounds like they wanted to emphasize a different facet of it. Chanina looked at it more in the framework of an opportunity of tshuva, and the Rish Lakish saw wanted to emphasize the onesh component of it. So perhaps he thought that was more essential and more primary. Is it like an onesh, which is, every onesh is constructed to help a guy do tshuva. So the skila also is constructed that way. We try to get him to do vidoy, but it's essentially an onesh. You could look at the onesh and kavod gals also that way. Or you could look at it, no, it's primarily tshuva. But the tshuva ends up having as a facet of a deterrent also. Okay, good question. I was asking, this is a halakhic question or a philosophical question? I don't know. It seems to me, I don't see it in Hamash. I mean, you have to prove that there's some practical halakhic difference. It seems to me just like a philosophical point, is they kind of had a certain view of the thing. You know, different. You could almost look at it's a, there's a one way to look at it is you could look at the institution of Aron Miklat as an expression of Chesed Hashem or an expression of Mishpat Hashem. Mm-hmm. Right? Because as he says, Tov Yashar Hashem. Tov is Mrs. Tov. The first position is looking at it as a Chet Aron Miklat. And no doubt that they both coexist. But still, like, I guess it's a matter of perspective. When he gave the shir, it's like he focused on more on one and then he focused more on the other. You know? I'm not sure if that's so, if there's like something further or deeper about the Mahalas and Mahalukas, or is it just different focus of foci? It sounds like they used to do this, so it sounds like this is kind of the way they looked at it. But I don't know if we get further into why they would, or, you know. At least there is a mark that you started mentioning. I was trying to think along that path. Is that the question is it really true that this stuff happens, you know? So I did think is that maybe it's partially true just in natural law also. Is that, for instance, is like God set it up that a person who, for instance, you do see like a lot of guys who are killers. Like let's say these mafia guys or like these rap. Yeah, I don't know if he's an example, because I'm saying it's like, let's say guys who murder. So guys who murder oftentimes get murdered. Right? That happens a lot. Right? Like let's say these rappers that have these wars and these all kinds of gangs, gangsters, right? It's all kinds of wars, right? Because they're involved. Basically, the life of a murderer is a life of a person who does risky stuff and he creates enemies and he ends up getting killed often. So it's like set up in, it's like built into the laws of nature that you can really kill with immunity. If you kill on purpose, you'll end up at some point then getting killed. How exactly? Look, you're playing with guns and you may end up shooting yourself by accident. I don't know, whatever. It may even be by accident. But the point is that there's a lifestyle of a person who's a killer basically is a disregard for human life and doesn't care about human life and is willing to kill, is that person oftentimes, just by natural law, he'll oftentimes, doesn't mean it has to happen, but by natural law, he often will end up getting killed.
Statistically, he's putting himself in a situation.
Yes, right. I would think, statistically speaking, just by derech hateva, the murderers are killed more often than your average guy. Just in statistics. Because he's just that kind of a guy, you know? And I would think that people who are careless with human life, who killed Bishogeg, I would say, repeat it, do that again. Let's say a guy kills once Bishogeg and he isn't caught. Presumably, I'd say the odds of him doing it again is also higher. Because the idea is that people who are careless with human life are careless with human life. It's kind of a way to live, and society in general. And I'd say also is that, there's another point, is that in general, I'd say people who kill Bishogeg are ostracized. They are. Just in society, society doesn't tolerate murderers. Even Bishogeg, it's just kind of, you get looked down upon, people look at you funny, you lose your status if you kill. Even Bishogeg, you know? And if you do it once in private and no one finds out about it, they'll end up finding out about it. You'll do it again. Saying he's like, you know, it's just the nature of like psychological forces. Maybe Mark said, maybe you'll want to get caught. Just like, in general, I'd say, just in the Derech Teva itself, is God set up that people will end up getting their due. You don't get away with these things so easily, you know, and you'll end up getting burned. You know, killers b'mezer will end up getting their due, and the killers b'shogeg end up getting their due. In a general, again, not 100%, but it is built into the natural order that these things happen. And then I'd say coupled with that is that you see that's the way God set up the Derech Teva. Say coupled with that, there's Ashkacha, that happens as well. That God works out the details of God's Osem Mishpat, and the person who kills Bishogeg doesn't get away with it. Doesn't get away with it. Whether God actually makes this latter case, it's an extreme form, where basically God who knows all and he works out all the things to come together, or some other form of Mishpat. But the point is that God said, you see, there is a pattern that God set up that Rishonim get their due, and it's a drash in this pasuk. Elokim ino liado. It says it wasn't on purpose, because God brought it upon you. It doesn't mean God brought it upon you. It means, listen, you are a killer b'shogeg, and in general, a person who is a killer b'shogeg is a certain midah, that he doesn't care about human life, and oftentimes God could set up a situation which will bring that to the front, bring this to the fore, in order to get a guy his just due. And that could be his onesh. If there's an onesh, that kind of a person. He killed once b'shogeg before, and he deserves that punishment. So the thing is, like, so Ari Miklat is an instance of Mishpat Hashem in carrying out the proper punishments for Tzeach B'Shkaga. You could study, the truth is interesting, you could study Mishpat Hashem also from here. You see that there's a Mishpat Hashem for a killer B'mezin, this is a Mishpat Hashem for a killer B'shogeg, and you could use Ari Miklat philosophically as a vehicle to study the proper system of Mishpat Hashem. Compare how bad is Rishich of Chicago? He needs a punishment. What type of punishment? He doesn't get killed, but he has to be an Ayur Miklat. You know, not permanently. You get into the nature, you know, so you could use Ayur Miklat to study Mishpat Hashem, or you could use Ayur Miklat to study Chasar Hashem. You know, like different facets which they used Ayur Miklat for. But either way, they used it as a method of learning ideas about God. Yeah, I think another point which it brings home is the point that Rebbe said once, is that it says, I forget, maybe the name of Rebbe Solanter or something like that. It says, the Pasuk says, Kol Derachav Mishpat, all his ways are Mishpat. He says, what does it mean, Kol Derachav Mishpat? Of course, it's a Mishpat. But Kol Derachav, says, it means, is a person, let's say, a human judge would kill, let's say, a person is a murderer. So a human judge will kill him, right, let's say. So he says, what about his family? His family's going to be sad now that their kid died and all the different... There's a lot of consequences. You kill one person, it affects a lot, it has impacts on a lot of people. So it says, look, a human judge can't take that stuff into account. Human judge, if one person kills, you have to kill him. You have to take care of justice. What about everyone else and all the side things which end up... The person can't take into account. But as you said, Kol Derachav Mishpat means that when God's din takes into account all the factors, it's Mishpat for everybody. And if it isn't, then maybe there'll be a zechus, or someone else will be tola, and God won't end up carrying a lick. He'll punish him some other way, or whatever. But the point is that God's mishpat is much broader than human mishpat. Like this example of God bringing both these people together in the hotel doesn't necessarily mean the particular thing, how often it happens, but the idea that that's the scope of God's mishpat is all-encompassing and takes into account the whole world. and the mechanisms by which he brings about mishpat. Can be very, very wide range of mechanisms that God's, you know, harbi sluchim l'makom. So you don't necessarily know a particular case. I think if you're going to hotels on ladders and looking for particular people, you're not going to find too many. But you know, the mishpat Hashem, it's an example to show how mishpat Hashem uses the various methods to carry out mishpat and give each person his due. You know. The thing you see is interesting is like you see both these amoraim. They didn't just, like, they learned Gemara, but you see that you looked at Halacha, although I'm sure they're involved in the rigorous studies of the Sugyas, but you see that they looked at the Sugyas as, like, a underlying objective. Like, the Halachas have expressions of philosophical ideas. So, yeah, those ideas are significant. You know, so you see that this is how he started the death thing. It's interesting. He didn't just wait till the end. Right. It's interesting. Like the Rambam style, you know, at the end of the Mishnah Torah and certain things at the end, he puts in some philosophy. You know? That's like a style. And the Mishnayos also do that sometimes. You don't see those, the Gemara's do it. It's interesting here is that they used to start the Sugya with that. Could be, it's like, I think it's something you said, it was just like gets people interested. Like, cause sometimes for Talmidim, you know, sometimes you start off with some philosophy, kind of gets, you know, people are drawn in by philosophy. So maybe it was it's like
a framework of where to...
Yeah, right. It's sure. It gives you a framework. Maybe that's a good idea. It's like, you're going to do the halachas. That's the point. I was saying it just gets people interested. But you're saying that it's maybe a better point, is that it's just like when you do the sugya, you have a place in your mind to put it. It's not just like, how are you supposed to think about the thing? So you can do the technical halachic thing, but like, what is it? What is this? Is this an onesh? Is this a machaper? Like it doesn't necessarily have any nafkamina and halacha. It's just like, you know, now when you do the sugyas and you know, you can just have this in your mind, you have just kind of a way of thinking about it, you know? So it's like almost like before he did the sugyas, he just brought it up and says, oh, let's keep it in mind almost. Like, let's keep this in mind when you go through the sugyas. Keep in mind the different facets of it. And presumably, every so often he'd revisit these points, you'd think. I mean, I don't know, it doesn't say that. What I would think is that, you know, he started it with it means it's like an intro. So every so often, he'd come back to it. You know, he'd mention it. Say, oh, here's an example of how it's a machaper because of this and this and that. He goes to, he brings his Rebbe with him, and therefore you see he's learning and he's doing tshuva. I don't know, whatever. You know, there are we've been doing this from time to time, right? Every so often that comes up when we're doing these sugyas about how it ends up being a machaper. It helps him do tshuva and things like that. So you see, it's like it's the philosophy, although the halakha and philosophy are separate, the discipline itself, doing a sugya, you're not using philosophy. But at the same time, they do run side by side, and there's value to bring up the philosophical ideas that you could glean from the sugya. You know? That's interesting. Jump from here. I mean, the Gemara really now gets into a bunch of agata. So I know I just talked about how the agata is really good, but I wanted to keep, you know, move along a little bit. So I'm going to jump to... Okay, basically, this is an interesting sugya. It's what happens if while he's running to Ari Miklat, this is a Gol Dam Lad Kelim, on the road.
Which line, please?
While he's running, it's the sixth wide line on Yudam and Beis. Amar Avuna.